This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Philip, and Jensen. Now, ESG, or Environment, Social, and Governance, is becoming a key driver of capital investment decisions, and financial institutions across the region are responding to the growing demand for sustainable financing options. In a report last month, the World Bank Group said sustainable financial markets have shown impressive growth over the last 5 years across the ASEAN 5.
One indicator cited was the total amount of sustainable debt raised annually, which grew from $250 million in 2016 to $6.8 billion in 2021. Banks and financial institutions have a key role to play in not only ensuring that customer demands for green financing are met, but also in shepherding businesses of all shapes and sizes to transition to an ESG global financial order.
This includes SMEs, which make up the backbone of Malaysia's economy and risk falling behind in the ESG transition without adequate support. So what are Malaysian banks doing to rise to the ESG challenge?
Joining us to lay out how AmBank Group views the ESG imperative, we speak to Ehwan Mozani, CEO of AmBank Islamic Berhad, and he's also the group sustainability champion. Good morning, Ehwan. Thanks very much for joining us today. Now, from AmBank's standpoint, how has client engagement evolved on the issue of ESG over the past few years?
AmBank Group is actually guided by our group sustainability framework, specifically on mitigating ESG and client risk. One of the key things that we've started doing is to introduce what we call an exclusion list, which means that for customers who are in certain segments, we will no longer provide new or additional loans or financing. Other things that we've done since last year, for example, we have overlaid our credit evaluation with ESG risk assessment, climate change classification, and also whether the loan financing is green or not green. At this point, I just want to mention to customers not to be considerably worried. We are very mindful of the need on this concept of just an orderly transition to make sure that there is no inadvertent a consequence of not mobilizing adequate capital to our customers. Because we do understand the economy and our customers need time to transition towards a more sustainable practice. I also want to mention, in terms of our financial inclusion, for example, one of the things that we focused on is really focusing on the SME, where the loans and financing we extended to SME has grown tremendously within the AmBank Group. In addition to that, our investment banking side, our funds management side, has also introduced ESG or sustainability-related funds and supporting customers to raise funds in a very sustainable fashion. We have also started the journey to equip our personnel with capacity in this area as well. So from the bank's perspective, we've evolved and we continue to evolve. And it's very gratifying to see that our customers also recognize the need for them to be mindful of the new mega trends which are taking place today.
With all financial institutions touting ESG investing credentials, what's the philosophy and thought process at AmBank that differentiates you from the competition?
So you're absolutely right. In fact, I find it gratifying that the at least financial services industry is actually moving in the right direction. And we're fortunate under the strong leadership of our regulators, we are on the right path to my mind. So for AmBank, one of the biggest things that we want to do is about creating genuine impact. It is not only about creating or grabbing headlines, but how is it that we can not only impact our customers, but also our communities and all stakeholders as well? And we're also very mindful of the need to avoid greenwashing, because we have seen in the more developed nations, some of the bigger institutions have actually been fined for greenwashing. And going back to this concept of just an orderly transition, we wish to progress in this area together with all stakeholders. So our intention is to do what we can to continue providing credit and funding to our customers, not only in their BAU business, but equally important is to support them to transition towards a low carbon practice. In addition to that, AmBank has got this philosophy called Beyond Financing, where we not only as a bank provide loans or financing, but through our initiatives such as the AmBank BizClub, AmBank BizRaise, where we provide capacity building efforts. so that our customers are able to equip themselves as the entire world moves towards this more sustainable and low carbon practices.
So, Ikwan, help me understand, right? What assistance does MBank provide for businesses looking to introduce, you know, ESG principles or frameworks in their operations? Is there really a one-size-fits-all approach, or is the process a bit more tailored to the individual company?
It's not possible, and we don't believe in this one-size-fits-all approach. So in MBank, we have segmentation, whether it's individual, the smaller retail SMEs, enterprise banking, commercial banking, mid-corp, large corp as well. So the products offered are different. The risk appetite is also different. And our approach on ESG will also be different. So when I spoke earlier about different industry, having got different risk characteristics and profile. So if I were to link that to what I mentioned at the onset, where we now also assess customer from ESG risk grade, we don't have a single guideline or questionnaire. We actually have got 8 sector-specific guidelines. So when I assess a customer from an ESG risk standpoint, it's actually guided by the specific sector guideline. And the 8 sectors are actually for sectors which we opine to be susceptible to ESG risk. So there's no one-size-fits-all, and that's always been the MBank approach.
Ikwan, do you see businesses losing out if they don't take any initiatives to incorporate ESG principles into their growth strategies?
Traditionally, businesses actually see profit as the primary reason for existence. And there are still, you know, companies which opine ESG risks to either be not material or it doesn't really impact their business, which unfortunately we have seen recent evidence. There are a number of companies which contract have been terminated because they were seen to be non-ESG compliant. There are companies who have been fined for flouting environmental laws. Companies whose exports have been stopped because they are seen to infringe labor rights. So again, I'm sure there are specific situations they could, you know, farewell, justify why they've done so and deny that they've actually breached any labor rights. But putting these specifics in principle, if companies do not meet ESG standards, for example, and because this is where the world is moving towards, you know, a fair, equitable society, then inevitably they could have, and we have seen how business can be impacted from them not doing this. And on the more intangible note as well, the reputation can be taking a dent. And we also see that, especially the young millennials, they wish to deal or buy or engage or be employed with companies which engage sustainability practices, with companies that are fair and companies that embrace more ESG and sustainability-oriented practices and philosophies.
In tandem with the ESG movement, there's also been growing interest in green finance. What is the landscape for green finance in Malaysia and what options do investors currently have?
Malaysia is one of the signatories for the Paris Agreement, and we are committed to net zero by 2050. And there's a clear increase in awareness for businesses, for communities to move towards a low carbon environment. So we've seen a raft of environmentally friendly initiatives. So the government of Malaysia, for example, has started this LSS, large solar scale project. We're now at the fourth stage. And I mentioned earlier how some customers, so for example, those in the palm oil, they realize that they can use the palm oil effluent to produce biomass, which in turn can generate power. And a number of incentives, for example, by the government in respect of, say, EV vehicles. So in MBank, we do offer financing for EV vehicles and a number of property developers, you know, mortgage, housing is a big sector in the economy, embracing sustainability-linked practices. For example, some are embracing GBI, Green Building Index. So for those customers, MBank is supporting not only the developer, but also the end financier, where you seek your individual loans or financing that where these financing support the green agenda. Then, of course, we will give you favorable terms. So business opportunities are significant and the financial service industry is responding with various options and needs. And in fact, earlier this year, our central bank, Bank Negara Malaysia, has again shown tremendous leadership by offering the low carbon transition facility to support and encourage SMEs to adopt more sustainable practices and for business resilience.
Ehwan, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Ehwan Mozani, CEO of Mbank Islamic, as well as the Group Sustainability Champion at Mbank Group. It's 7:58 in the morning. We're heading into the 8 a.m. News Bulletin. And when we come back on The Breakfast Grill, Philip C. speaks to Alexander Rosso, CEO of Bake with Yen Group. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.